Lord, I do thank you for this time that we come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, sit over some good Bible teaching, good King James Bible teaching. Lord, you've blessed us so much. What a blessing it is just to sit in here today. What a privilege it is to sit in here today and have this opportunity just to talk to you, praise and worship you. You're so powerful and just in control of our lives, and we thank you for that. Thank you for being with us always. And looking forward to this day, a good day of praise and worship, good music, good preaching. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done and all you will do in Jesus' name. We pray for you.
Amen. Amen. All right, last week we left off when I said that life is an investment, especially for us as believers. But even throughout, without being a believer, life is an investment. But especially for us, you either invest your life in things, the right things, and come out at the judgment seat of Christ much better off than if you invest your life in the wrong things and you see your potential rewards all burned up. And we invest in the wrong things, and that's what's going to happen. Now, we as Bible believers and as saved people who supposedly love the Lord and want to serve the Lord are going to find out if we have a desire to know what God wants from us. So we get into the Word and we read, we study, we get Bible studies and preaching messages to draw us closer to the Lord. And as I said before, it's a hard attitude. It's our hard attitude that determines how close we want to live to the Lord. And in order to invest in the right things, remember that when you got saved, when you got born again, you laid a foundation. And of course, that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation that we're to build upon. And the Bible tells us that we are to be wise master builders. And if we're not wise, then we're going to use the wrong building material, and we're going to see that burned up, and there goes our rewards. So for us, we're going to build with the proper building materials, and you know what they are. They're gold, silver, and precious stones, and we'll find out more about those as we go on. Remember, the Bible says you're God's temple, so we are a building. The Bible says no other foundation can be laid than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that's the day that we got saved, that we start building that building. So the rest of your life, the rest of my life, we are to build upon that foundation three things. Forget the wood, hay, and stubble. Put them out of your mind. You want no part of that. Those are the bad things that a Christian can build on. And what are some of the bad things? That's fulfilling our own desire, what we want to do. Forget what the Bible says and the Lord says that we're to do. We want to do our own thing. And you don't want to face the judgment seat of Christ after doing your own thing for all those years. You want to face the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ after being obedient to the Word and using the building materials that He says to use, the gold, silver, and precious stones. And so we're going to focus on these right things that we need to build with. And if you understand this, the building that we are and that we're building daily, you're going to develop an unbelievable relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we should do. Our goal is to build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing we're going to look at is gold. Gold in the Bible stands for the deity of Christ. You study gold throughout the Bible and you'll find out that it's the deity. And in our society, gold is the highest standard. In the world, gold is the highest standard. Why do you think countries try and buy up all the gold that they possibly can? Because it's a standard. It's a world standard. Why do you think that when it comes to credit cards, it says you have the best gold card? Yeah, I know they come out with platinum and all that, but that's no comparison to what gold is. sporting events, what are we told? Go for the gold. The Olympics, a gold medal, that's what we strive for. And go for the gold, that's the number one thing. And that's what we're going to do as Bible believers, is go for the gold, first thing we build with. It's the highest standard that God has in the Bible is gold. And as I said, that's His deity. So if you go back and look at the Old Testament, how they built the ark, I think it was in Exodus. I looked up the verses but forgot to mark them down. The ark was made out of wood. I mentioned this weeks ago. But it was overlaid with gold. Okay? The wood represented Christ's humanity. You know, God manifest in the flesh. So that's His humanity. Was overlaid with gold, and that represented His deity. The wood, His humanity, overlaid with gold, the deity. So He was God manifest in the flesh. And these are all Bible representations of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how you know that it was God, that how you know that your sins can be taken away as a result of Christ's sacrifice, because He was God manifest in the flesh. So we know that He was man, human, and He was God. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And who is that? That's only the Lord Jesus Christ. You deal with people that say that Christ isn't God. You've got verses you can run them to, whether they reject them or not. You've got verses that'll show them that Christ is God. 1 Timothy 3:16, the main one. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Why? God was manifest in the flesh. No question about it. Then you go to John chapter 1 and find out, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 2, "And the same was in the beginning with God." And then you go down to verse 14, "And the Word..." Capital W, so you know it's the Lord Jesus Christ, not the written Word. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Who is that? That can only be one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you read in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 21 through 24, you read about Solomon's temple. And you find that when that temple was built, that it was overlaid with gold. Unbelievable. And I'll show you something in a minute. There was a book written in 1950 by a Bible-believing saved architect, and he took the dimensions of Solomon's temple from what the Bible gave, and he figured out, according to the gold standard at that time, what it would take to overlay that temple with gold. And he figured it would take 171 billion dollars at 1950s gold standard, and if you bring that up to today, you've got it would be worth 1,824,703,389.83. So that's how much it took to overlay that temple with gold. Now, you say, why would they waste that much money? Because it was God that they wanted to have Solomon's temple not represent, not to worship, but because God was involved there, and they wanted it to be special. So the Bible says in the New Testament, the New Jerusalem not only is overlaid with gold, but is pure gold. So, you know, streets of gold we read about. And we think today that having gold would be so great, but we'll be walking on gold in the New Jerusalem. Yeah, unbelievable. The Bible in Revelation 21 verse 18, you can read where it was pure gold and not just overlaid with gold. So gold in the Bible will represent also our relationship with God in the sense of getting to know who He is. This is very important. When you got saved, you met Christ as your Savior. Okay? I met Christ as my Savior. After that, you get to know Him, or should get to know Him, as your best friend. Now here's where we learn some things. Bible says in Matthew 22 verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, how? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's how we're to love the Lord. Now how do we do that? How do we come to a place in our life where you love God with your whole heart and your whole mind and your soul? It seems like a tough thing to do, but we make it tough. God's provided the way. There is a process for this to happen. First of all, you get to know who He is. You say, well, I know who He is. He's Jesus Christ. He's God manifest in the flesh. But there's more to it than that. The first thing you lay on that foundation is gold. You get to know who He is. And when God wrote the Bible, He wrote it very directly. He didn't, you know, put here, find this here, or go there, or He wrote it very directly. And everything in it means something. We may not know right away. It may take some study, but it means something. So when you come through the Bible and you say to yourself, I want to walk with God. Okay, I do. I want to walk with God. I'm sure all of you do too. I want to have a walk with God. I want to learn to walk with God. How do I walk with God? So then you go through the Bible and you find that there are only two men in the Bible that says walked with God. Now, we know others got saved and they were close to the Lord, but the Bible says only two men walked with God. So why did He say only two men? Other men walked with the Lord. Yes, they did. But why pick these two men that he stated in his word walked with God? The reason is, if you want to have a walk with God in your own personal life, you must study the lives of these two men and find out why and how they walked with God. The Bible says there were only two men in the Bible that were God's friend. Now, were there other people in the Bible that were God's friends? Of course there were. Why did he pick just two people in the Bible to say that they were his friend? Because if you wanted to learn how to have a close relationship with God, you and be his friend, you study these two men. What was different about them than was different from everybody else? So people think that if you have a relationship with God, that you need to be so pious and spiritual. I've seen it over the years since I've been saved, and I'm sure some of you have seen it, where especially when it comes to prayer, they'll want to kneel down, bow their head, fold their hands, you know, maybe light a candle as a representation of the Holy Spirit, bringing light into the world and all this, and their prayers will be, "Oh, thou great Father, the creator of," and so on. Those type of prayers make you sick. You know, they're not from the heart. But that's what they do. And we don't need to be like that if we're going to be God's friend. let me see now. Our prayer life, you don't talk to your friend like that. You know, if you have a friend, you don't say, "Oh, thou wonderful, great Danny or Ben." You know, you say, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, you're not disrespectful, but you're a friend, and you can talk as a friend. The Bible says that God wants to be your friend. The Bible says that God wants you to walk and talk to Him as if you were talking to your best friend. You all have, and I have, someone who's closer to you than others as far as friends. And you know how you deal with a friend. It's not a pious type of relationship. It's a close relationship. You can talk to that person. And prime examples of that, these two men that walked with God, that were God's friend, one of them is Moses. And you need to study Moses' life in order to find out what was going on between him and God. And the Bible says that Moses spoke to God like a man speaketh with a friend face to face. Moses, when you read the Old Testament, first of all, Moses was arguing with God. "God, I can't. I'm slow of speech." And God says, "All right, I'll give you your brother. Take him with you." So right from the beginning, Moses started arguing back and forth with God. And God talking with him back and forth. And that's how it should be with us and God. Just like you talk to your best friend. Then after, you know, God told Moses, you're going to be the leader. Then they come out of captivity. And they were always having problems. Israel was. So one day Moses says to God, "You know, God, these people are such reprobates. They're the biggest jerks I've ever known." He says, "Why don't you just kill them all and we'll start all over?" And this is how he talked to God, okay? As a friend, would talk to another friend. And God says, come on, Moses, you know there are hardened people. If you've ever dealt with the Jews, you know how they are. And they're hardened people. And, you know, I called them to be my people, so let's just get along with them. And Moses says, okay, I guess you're right. And then a couple days later, God says, I'm going to kill all these people. He says, I picked you to be the leader, and you got a grip on things, but I'm going to destroy them because they profane my name. They're always going against what I tell them to do. I'm going to kill them. And Moses says, now God, you chose these people. They're your people. Let's just work with them and be a little patient with them. And God says, okay, Moses, you're right. And you hear preachers say, what if God and Moses got mad at them at the same time? They would, you know, wiped them out off the earth. And so that's the type of relationship with God that you and I can have. We can go to Him face to face, as Moses spoke to God face to face. They had a relationship. You and God and I and God can have a relationship. They had a friendship, and we can have that same type of friendship. They both understood the purpose. And if you want to learn to be God's friend, you study Moses. And that way you'll know what it's like to be God's friend. In the Bible, there is only one man who has God's heart. And if you want to know how to have God's heart, you need to study this man. And that man, of course, is David. In the New Testament, there are only four people that Jesus said He loves. But the Bible says in John 3:16, He loved the world. Why would the Bible say that there's only four people that He loved? Why did God pick four people that He specifically said He loved when He loved everyone else? There was a special relationship there. And it was because God wanted to show you and me that if you want to learn how to love God, then you need to study the lives of these four people. And those people are Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and the Apostle John. The Apostle John is a special character. If you want to learn how to build a relationship with God, if you want to learn how to build upon that foundation of gold, look at the 12 apostles. They represent Christianity. And you have 12 of them. And one of them is a phony, Judas. He was a devil, the Bible says. We know that in most Christian circles, any church, and I'm talking about Baptist churches, Bible-believing Baptist churches, forget the rest. Within those churches, there's probably many people that are not saved, okay? Within the 12, there are only 3 that really experience the power of God more than the rest of them. And that was, of course, Peter, James, and John. On the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there? Peter, James, and John. When the greatest miracles were done, who was there? Peter, James, and John. So those were the inner circle of Christ's friendship there. And what that shows is that out of all Christianity, only a minority is going to build a relationship with God that counts. Only a minority of people we'll draw close to the Lord. But we're not done there yet. Out of those three, when it came down to the final act and the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross, even the inner three, two of them were missing. Right? Where was Peter? He was arguing with that little girl. Cursing. I don't know him. And where was James? He was somewhere running down the road somewhere. But where was the Apostle John? He was at the feet of Jesus on the cross, where we should be, at Christ's feet, worshiping Him. And
didn't it say he was also in the shadows the whole time?
Yeah, he was there. He did not leave. He's our example. If we want a close relationship with the Lord, the Apostle John is the one that we should study and learn from. Because the others were, even though they were close to the Lord, Peter and James, when it came down to the actual trials, they were off. So he is John. He is the only one that goes all the way. When Christ was hanging on the cross, he was there while Peter was denying him. James, as I said, was hiding somewhere. But John at the feet of Jesus at the cross, exactly where Mary and Martha were. And it seems that the women had a special place. There's something special about that. But John is our example if we want to draw close to the Lord. He was in the proper place where you and I should be. Now, at the what we call the Last Supper, when they dip the sop, and Jesus says, "One of you will betray me." What did they say? Each one of them said, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?" What did John say? John knew it was not him. He said, "Lord, who is it?" And that's how we should be. We should be that close to the Lord, where we know we're going to stay by Him, stick with Him, and not betray Him. How do we betray Him? In our lifestyle, our language, our talks, what we do, where we go, and so forth. So John is the only man in the Bible, actually the only man in the world, that does something that nobody else has done, but you and I can do it. John 12:13-25 says, "He was laying on Jesus' breast and saith unto him, Lord, who is it?" And with his head on Christ's breast, he heard the heartbeat of God. You and I can hear the heartbeat of God as we draw close to Him through the Word. And then, of course, you had David, who was after God's heart. But John is the only man that heard the heartbeat of God. And if you and I are ever going to do something for God, we are going to have to hear the heartbeat of God. And now, how do you hear the heartbeat of God? For you to go all the way with Christ, like John did, for you to wind up through any trial, tribulation, where God wants you to be so you can learn a lesson, it's going to take the same kind of dedication that John had. And at some point in your life, you are going to have to hear the heartbeat of God. And the only way you can do that is to lay on that foundation gold. Who is He? Find out who He is. The Lord Jesus Christ I'm talking about. Get to know Him. Get to know Him as Noah knew Him. He walked with Him. Get to know Him as Moses knew Him, as a friend who could talk to Him face to face. And you know, again, prayer time. When it comes to that, you should be in an attitude of prayer at all times, anytime, all the time. You should be able to go to God without saying, "Oh man, do I have to confess something so I can talk to God? Will He hear me, or will it bounce off the ceiling because I'm not right with Him? I've got sin in my life." So you get right with God, you stay right with God, able to go to Him in prayer at any time. So if you want to be God's friend and talk to Him as Moses was able to, face to face, you apply the Word of God to your life. You get right, you stay right, and you do right. You be like the Apostle John. You're there all the time. You're with Him. And I'm not talking physically. I hope you know what I'm saying. That your relationship is right. Your heart's right. The heart attitude is right. And you're talking to Him throughout the day. Lord, I pray for you. And the Lord will call people to your mind. And then you go to prayer over them. All right. So let's draw closer to the Lord. Let Him be our friend. And we'll pick up next week with some more of this. And we'll pick up on silver, what silver represents. And we'll get with that. All right. John, help up praying for us.
Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we've had together. And Lord, thank You for John diligently and prayerfully preparing this lesson for us, Lord. And I just pray we all took something from this that we can get closer to You, Lord. And as the preaching hour comes, Lord, please look after the man of God as he brings Your message, Lord. And if there's anybody here that doesn't know You, Lord, today's just a perfect day. And Lord, just thank You for everything You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all for...